Welcome to Kingdom Conversations. I'm Curtis.
And I'm Sally.
This is Aaron.
And I'm Sean.
And today, we're going to talk about...
Money, 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 money.
Ching.
Cha-ching. Money's a fantastic topic for the kingdom. I love it. Good conversation.
There's so much to talk about when it comes to money, though.
Mm-hmm.
Where should we go first?
We could talk about the importance of money. We could talk about it in a good way, or we could talk about it in a like the negative loves of money. Do we want to go positive or do we want to go negative?
With the good news or the bad news?
The good news or the bad news?
Certainly Jesus had a lot to say actually about
he
money.
He did have a lot to say about money.
Mentioned it quite a bit.
I know. Let's.
I mean, Adam and Eve didn't have money.
No. They had jobs, though.
They worked.
Yeah, they had a job. They were like, make babies, populate the earth.
They also didn't have any real needs, either.
No needs.
Well, what was the first? I mean, I always kind of assumed that before it was like an actual currency, you know, there was some sort of bargaining, trading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, whatever... I mean, Even in the Bible, you'd like give your tithe wasn't necessarily money or coins. It could be
your first fruits. Your first fruits, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember one of the passages that Jesus had talked about, you know, not only just because money being money, but also what money represents, you know, power, freedom, and different things like that. There's a lot of potential to... do good with money, it's powerful, or do a lot of harm with money. And I think that was one of the reasons why he spoke so much about it, because of not only out and out what it could buy, but what it represented. And I think of Matthew 6:24, where Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." I just thought that was interesting that he would contrast those two, God and money, which certainly heard money referred to as a substitute God. You know, I know I've struggled with my own wants, needs, and desires surrounding money.
Mm-hmm.
So I resonate when I read that.
Yeah, we also spend a lot of energy worrying about money.
Yep.
And that really, like, I thought of that when you read that verse because, I mean, it's not necessarily about serving, but it's all of our energy and being drawn towards this worry about money when we could, it's such an opportunity to have faith in God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
There's still this need to be, take good care of your money or be wise with your money, but to become like worried or let it to be a common point of division. They always talk about marriages, like number one thing in the fight about is money.
It's weird. One of the things that we just went through this big series about money at church. And Sean and I went to a small group and it was really good. But one of the things I noticed was that all of the men were kind of obsessed with saving money. Like, it was a big thing. And I've never in my whole entire life, all the years I've been going to church, been around that many men in church that were that obsessed about saving money. That's all they were, just like, save, 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 save. And it was very bizarre to me because, you know, back out in California, that was, I mean, people were very aware of their money, but it was a remarkable difference for me. Like, I was very easy to notice it.
Like a security.
Yeah, yeah. More so than I've ever seen ever in my entire life, ever.
Well, that was actually what they had when pressed to answer about some of that, that was some of the answers mm-hmm. in the group, was the whole security piece that was behind it, which I know I can relate to that, especially when we came out here and I took a big salary cut mm-hmm. from my, you know, and we had some stuff in reserve, so that wasn't as bad as it could have been. So, but I really felt that weigh on me more when it was like not as much there.
Right.
It was like, oh, and I'm growing up very not, I don't know what it's like to go hungry. I don't know what it's like to, you know, not have a roof over my head. So I'm wondering how much more would that perhaps weigh on me if I didn't have some of those things. But even without being in that position, it still does in various ways.
There's an element of wanting to be in control. I think that comes with that, in wanting to have that savings yourself, to know that you can, that you're in control of your future security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because it seems there's this, like we started with the good side and the bad side to all of it, because I think about savings and think, oh, we should probably do a better job of saving. You know, we get a bonus and we usually pay off a debt and then we
good
spend
job.
On something that we wanted to
job.
Spend on. Mm-hmm. We'll usually bring our savings like up to where we'd like to have it, which is kind of based on a recommendation of, you know, at least like enough to live, like pay all your expenses for a couple months. But I don't even know if we save quite that amount, probably. But yeah, I mean, we have an amount that we try to not go below, and we'll go below it and then we'll bring it back up and then we'll, but I mean, I guess sometimes I'm convicted in like, oh, maybe I should save a little bit more. But yeah, it could definitely start to be the other way around where it's, you know, you're storing away. There's like that, the parable about
talents.
Yeah. You know, the person who went and buried
his one talent. Right.
So, I mean, I think sometimes you could think about that maybe more abstractly, or maybe it's not always money, or maybe putting some money in our savings account doesn't feel like we're burying our talent. But yeah, just not become a slave to that. Like, you know, make it a good habit to save. And but yeah, what made you say that they were obsessed about it?
Because it was everybody's answer. All of the men, it was everybody's answer.
It was very common.
Answer to what question?
Oh, what was the question? It was the three C's.
It dealt with some of your issues or like things that were a problem with you. And control was one.
Control, comparison, and there was another C.
But money and savings came up. It was a common trend that it came up. So it was just kind of, it was interesting because that's not necessarily what I'd have normally thought of, but it had come up enough to where it was like, kind of made you wonder like, huh, that seems to be a common, almost like it was a cultural thing or something in the area or something, like Ann was saying, compared to California, with what folks said, how they reacted to having certain things, what they go spend this and go buy this and stuff and this,
right?
It's just, it was different, but what they answered is the reason why a number of them had talked about security was a big thing, and you know, making sure this is under wraps, which I didn't necessarily see as a bad thing, but they were listening as something that had maybe gotten out of control in some way.
What did they say, or what kind of came out of that, of like what God was trying to tell them?
Well, like I did notice a lot of people were trying to get to a point where they, it was funny, like it was a hard one for me because there's a lot of stuff I wanted to just say, but at the same time I was trying to bite my, like really, really bite my tongue. But a lot of people were saying stuff like, you know, well, you know, we don't tithe and I'm trying to, you know, work our way up to 10%. We might start with like 2 or 3%. And I wanted to just be like, tithing literally means 10%. You can't tithe 2%. But, you know, I was like really trying to bite my tongue because I didn't want to be like crazy or harsh or judgmental. I didn't want to be seen as judgmental. And I think it's awesome if somebody's not giving, they're not tithing, they're not giving on a regular basis, and they start to say, like, you know, this is something I feel encouraged to do, and I'm going to start by giving 2 or 3%. I think that's fantastic. But I also think that it's like a, I don't know, I just kind of feel, and maybe it's just me, it's just how I work, where I'm like, just have faith and give 10%. Just like, give 10%. Go for it. Like, just try. Yeah. Test God and see, and, you know.
Yeah, but I guess I was thinking, like, kind of this challenge, like, what do you think God was trying to say to them?
Oh.
Was he trying to say...
He was trying to encourage them not to, like, be so, like, tight-gripped. Like, yeah. So worried about it, and so... Because I saw a lot of people just trying to, like, build their portfolio, build their wealth, and God kind of encouraging them to, like, take this, some of this money that he has, you know, provided them with by whatever means he's provided it, and just kind of, like, encouraging them to use it for the kingdom and not just, like, build the portfolio.
Yeah, the reason I was kind of pressing in that way is, I mean, I wasn't there, mm-hmm. so I don't know, but I found it interesting sometimes to, like, stop and say, like, so what do you think God is saying to you? Because mm-hmm. a lot of times people will say, like, oh, I need to give more money, or mm-hmm. I need to tithe, or I need to read my Bible, or I need to pray. But, I mean, I think mm-hmm. hearing that control, if that was the element, mm-hmm. it would be, like, trust me, or,
yeah,
like... It's okay.
Yeah.
To you can it you don't have to hold this on your own.
Right.
Because that's a lot of stress and feeling like your financial security is like all on you and you have to like stow away. I mean, I think God might be trying to tell them like just trust me. And like it could be okay to save.
Absolutely.
As long as you're not
absolutely
holding all that stress and you're like, praise God that I have money to save right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God's given me money to save, so I'm saving it. But it's his, and this is a provision he's giving me. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I've, like, kind of going through that way of thinking, I think sometimes can help people, like, actually be like, a lot of times it comes down to God is actually saying, like, hey, I love you.
Yeah.
It's not usually like, you need the tithe, you
right.
know, but...
Exactly. I agree 100%. 100%.
Well, one gentleman had mentioned that he was trying to make sure he was taken care of. It was kind of coming out of a place of, I'm on my own kind of thing. I have mm-hmm. to take care of this. And so that was really what he was addressing with.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just one gentleman that had mentioned something along those lines. So oftentimes it's interesting what's driving it. What's the root behind it? You know, and sometimes it could be like, oh, this person has a love of money, but really it's like, no, they're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid mm-hmm. I don't have. I mean, I heard stories, I think it was of the boxer, Rocky Marciano, where he'd hold money away under his bed, and it was just this fear of poverty
mm-hmm.
that he'd grown up with.
Right.
It wasn't like this miserly thing or anything. It was this fear that I could be out on the street and just like that. And so it's interesting finding what the root is. It like that we talked about, you talked about the parable of the talents, and the interesting thing was why the servant holed the one away and went and buried his talent in the sand was the whole idea is I knew you were a harsh master.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this whole image of God thing inspired him to hold that away. And I'm wondering, sometimes we could have an idea about God that maybe something in that area is driving us to do something with our finances in some way. We think maybe God won't be there for me or something like that, and I have to take care of this on my own, which kind of sounded like some of what some folks were kind of alluding to. And I can relate to that. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I have trust in God to come through with me, and sometimes that wavers, you know. It's not, my faith isn't perfect. So I understand the some of that, the fear of it. I haven't been in some of the situations of others, but it's interesting what sometimes can be driving some of our use of money and how we deal with it, you know, or abuse it, use it or abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of Jesus's kind of concerns of be careful how we view it, because it can be a source of power for good, or it can really be something that can be destructive.
I like to spend money.
I do too.
I do too.
Saving's hard for me. It's I've actually talked to my therapist a bit about like what is behind my compulsive buying of things, and I don't buy like really expensive, extravagant things, but it's like, oh, this on Amazon, click bought, it's mine. I haven't done it in a while, actually. It's been a couple weeks. I came to this, I don't know, self-realization that I don't own anything. Like, I literally own nothing. Like, I don't get to take anything with me. You know, I mean, absolutely nothing. It's just me. And I can try to find happiness, or I can try to... I can buy the next thing to keep me entertained for a minute. But in reality, even if I bought it, like, it's not even mine. Like, it's literally garbage. It's future garbage.
Yeah.
I think that's a helpful reminder. And I think a lot of times that's what Christ was trying to say, that this isn't something that's going to last you. So don't develop some sort of from his perspective, and an unnatural attachment to something, you know. I mean, I view God as wanting all good things for us, but man, think of all this thing that's been done in the way of money, wealth, power, and those things. Because for some people, I've heard him talk about, well, for me, money symbolized either freedom or power. And like, I know when I've felt like bad or something like that, and I can buy something and I get a little pick me up. I can get a little pick me up with that.
Shopping,
and so I'm like, well, that might be okay once in a while, but do I end up doing something like that habitually? Do I end up building a habit like that, and it becomes like something that becomes a controlling factor? And I think, again, that's one of the things Christ was going with so many things about, you know, this can be a very good thing, just I don't want it to be a ruling force in your life to where it brings out the worst in you and it becomes something like that. I think that was kind of the spirit I get that Christ was trying to talk to us about that. And because I know I can have things get out of control, or I'll make a purchase or something. It's like, oh, I might have extended myself over there, but I really wanted it, or wanted to.
I have a hard time thinking like that, really. Like, I mean, for me, it'd be like, it's almost like a high of like, oh, I got something coming in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like excited about it.
Yeah.
And then then it started getting to this point, like once it got there, like,
The high is gone.
The high was gone before it even got there. Like when I saw it was going to be delivered that day, the high was gone. And I was like, wait, that's...
What a bummer.
That's not right.
What a bummer.
It is a bummer, but I mean, it was really opening my eyes that there's something else going on there with me that I need to think about.
Is it how I feel when I eat chocolate? Is it like that same sensation? I've been not eating carbs, and I ate popcorn when I got here, and I was like, oh, carbohydrate. So yeah, no, I get the same. I mean, I don't think I get the same way, but I like shopping. It can definitely, if I'm having a bad day, going to the mall, buying something expensive will definitely, for me, it's that like Coach purse, and you buy that $500 Coach purse, which I don't do very often, but like it definitely makes you feel really good, you know, kind of like eating chocolate. Maybe not quite as good as eating chocolate, but maybe better. I don't know.
I thought of what one of the things Sally had said in relationship to 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 17 through 19, where he had said, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy.
But all things to enjoy.
I just was like that tension of I can put my trust in so many things. Money can be an easy one in that regard because of, again, what it can do for us. You know, when you think about, I remember my dad had a saying, it's like, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy everything else, kind of that kind of deal. And I was like, well, it can alleviate some miseries in life. I mean, it can do a lot of things. So,
I believe money can buy happiness up to a point. Absolutely.
That's buy those temporary ones. Like, yep. I got something in the mail coming from Amazon. And I've had that when we've had like a new vehicle or something like that, where it was like, for a short while, it was a high,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And it was a way to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
after a short, very short while, it was a way to get to work. And man, it sure consumes a lot of gas and
right. All
these things that kind of. And it's great to be able to have that, but it's also, when I've had an unhealthy attachment at various times, it's been a real bummer and kind of brought me down, because there's something else going on that was behind it that it's not satisfying.
I think that money in the kingdom, though, can be very powerful. I mean, like, it takes money to do ministry. It absolutely does. Mega churches they're able, because of the wealth that they have, they're able to do some like bigger things in the communities than little small churches. So like little small churches, you might have like a fantastic church, like serious Bible studies, people are being taught, church is happening, really, really well. And that kind of thing may not happen in a mega church, but mega churches, they can do some crazy ministries with that money.
I'm always interested in the pie chart,
mm-hmm.
of like how much of the money that is being taken in by the church is being used for outward,
mm-hmm.
focused things, and how much is it to keep the in-house running.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I don't know what I'm not saying I have the proper division of funds that's the most godly in my mind or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just always kind of curious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Takes a lot of money to run some
mega
trees as well.
Sure.
And, it seems what, when Christ would say is like, about being good stewards with what we mm-hmm. got, it's at least something that should be put on the table to look at and discuss. To see, hey, is this, I think being wise, I mean, Jesus often talked about so many different stories with money, about money lenders and things like that, about, being shrewd, know, the importance of being shrewd in our dealings with money so it can be we can invest it wisely. Are we getting a right return? I mean, I used to think of some missionaries that came in that would come and say straight up, I'm here for all your money. I'm here for all of it. I want all of it. I want every last dime, and I'm just going to say that right up front. But then you saw what it accomplished, and they would show you what it would, everything that it accomplished, but there was no big buildings. There was no fancy equipment. It was people going out there risking their necks and doing some things. They had tents, and they had some vehicles and different things like that. But it was easy for me to look at that and say, well, that's kind of how it should be, kind of a thing like
right.
that. But I don't know, in our cultural setting and different things like that, I think about that too. I wonder. Yeah. And
I don't think a lot of people have a big problem with churches having big buildings for everyone that goes to that church to be able to gather together. I think most people get a problem when like the pie chart seems too off, that mm-hmm. most of the money's going to that building, or mm-hmm. God forbid the senior pastor has got the largest chunk of the pie chart,
mm-hmm.
because you get
mm-hmm.
senior pastors who are like talking about how God wants the congregation to buy him his own private jet, then
sure.
And various versions of that that are different, that can really
sure.
take us in some. Money and power can mm-hmm. really take
yeah.
us, or
yeah.
money can be power. It can take us in. It's taken me, sometimes made me think about certain things or press certain things. And I was like, wow, I almost feel like maybe it was best that I didn't have a certain amount. Maybe it was good that I was never really rich,
yeah.
because
good
I probably
would have
destroyed myself. Is probably, you know.
I was just looking for verses about money, and I like Ecclesiastes because it's everything's meaningless. So
everything's meaningless.
I love Ecclesiastes.
But it says Ecclesiastes 5:10 said, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Mm. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless."
Amen.
But I think that's kind of like getting to that point too, where like I've noticed it, not that I want more money, but I'm just like, geez, like the more money I make, the more money we spend,
yep.
the more bills we have. And like,
yeah, that yep. touches on what I was saying earlier about I don't own anything. Like it's meaningless.
Oh man. Yeah. I was thinking of some folks that were telling me about certain amount that they was talking about how hard some things were sometimes, but then I heard what was coming in, and I was like, boy, I wish I had that problem.
Yeah.
Oh, that times is hard, you know.
It gets that way, though.
And, it was like, because, but then they talked about the explanation of, well, I had more coming in, there was now bigger bills. You know, and now it just seems like more of it was going out. And I was mm-hmm. like, it's like that level of I get accustomed to a certain thing, and then a certain way of spending or whatever, and then it becomes hard to adjust that. You know, it was like we had to kind of adjust some things and moving, not a lot with us, not a lot, but when the money started getting fiddled with, it was like, oh, shoot. And then there was mm-hmm. bills, things, and then sometimes it's easy to get on each other's nerves or something around the issue of like mm-hmm. bills and money and stuff like that. It, you know, it's something that in marriage counseling, if going through some classes about that, couples fight about sex and money. You know, that's kind of the two of the biggies that kind of come up.
Hmm.
I don't do well talking about money either because of some situations.
No, she doesn't.
I don't either.
I feel bad because she makes all the money. And so if we're starting to talk about money, I instantly feel bad because I spend money.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
Well, for me, it was different because with my first marriage, my ex was very, like, he made me be in charge of all the money. Like, the man did not even know how to write a check. He didn't. And this was before ATM cards. And so he would also like freak out about money, and he'd like come home and grab the checkbook and go through it and freak out like, why did I spend $4 here? And I mean, it was like really abusive. And so what'll happen is when we first got married, he'd start asking me about stuff, and I would instantly get super, super defensive and freaked out. But yeah, so it's hard on Sean because Sean's just like, whoa, I'm just trying to ask, like, and I'd be over there, you don't even understand how much we make and all the bills that go out and blah 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 blah, and I had to spend this on this, and he's just like, calm down. So I don't know, we don't really,
I think
I've gotten
you.
A little better. What, you can't imagine?
No, I'm just
me
joking.
Freaking out.
You can't imagine
joking.
Any drama coming out of your sister.
Oh,
really.
I love being a drama queen. It's like exciting and dramatic. It's fun. So if you won the lottery, what would you do with it?
Well, I'd have to play the lottery. I'd have to play the lottery first. But
I'm joking.
Give it all away. I know. Isn't that, they always talk about how people who win the lottery, how like
they go broke.
Or how it wrecks
their lives. A number do. I think... But then we'd known one guy out there that in the church that, you know, seems to be fairly wealthy, but has a total hardcore giving plan
mm-hmm.
in place. And, you know, he seems very healthy, and the people that know the person will verify that, and seems to manage having a lot of resources.
Yep.
But has a direct plan of all the places that are bringing in stuff going out to places, and very genuinely, from at least all appearances, I'd say
amazing.
A very happy, giving, godly person from the people that know the person and is a leader and cares for people and stuff and seems to be able to talk about his stuff.
Yeah, he's
with
open.
a freedom that isn't always seen. So I think that's someone that I've seen that has these resources that seems to have a pretty healthy relationship.
If you can give, if you're like able to give a lot of money away, I feel like God would give you more money if you can give. Because when you read the Old Testament, like Abraham, and Abraham was a rich dude. Lot, Abraham and Lot, like all of the Old Testament, a lot of those Old Testament guys, they had a lot of resources. They were wealthy, wealthy people. Look at King David and Samuel
the prophet.
Not Samuel.
Solomon. He didn't have a lot of money.
Solomon. Thank you.
King David. Well, he inherited. Said, see, Solomon inherited.
Sure.
So, I mean.
But what I'm saying is like I don't think
it's
like right. But what I'm saying is I think that if you're able to give a significant amount of money, if you're able to not like have it and grasp hold of it and have open fingers with it to give it out, like God can bless you because he knows that you're gonna do right with that money.
There's a lot of people with a lot of money out there that don't appear to be doing right with it though.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
I was thinking of, I also think, you know, in a discussion like this, I think about when Christ had the confrontation with the rich young ruler and told him to go sell everything. And we were asked in one time in a when I was in Bible college to try to, you know, apply that to myself. And I was like, I was kind of panicked. I was like, give everything? I mean, everything? There's a part of me not wanting to do that. A big part, not wanting to do that. And I struggled with that for a while, you know? And I was like, would I do that? I think Christ is really, wants to make sure he has all of us and recognizes the potential of something to be able to get in the way between that.
I think a lot about when Curtis and I first got married and we didn't have any money. Like I was doing my residency and you were a student.
I mean, them residencies. No money.
That it was, sometimes I like wish it was like it was then when it was just simpler and like you lived simpler because you had less or... Curtis and I will sometimes talk about like doing a, what's the word for it?
Minimalism?
Yes.
Minimalism.
We have like way too much stuff for that, but
you know. I would be really interested in changing our lifestyle completely.
Trying it for
You know, her keeping her job, if that's what she wants to do, finding one that doesn't make her travel as much, if that's what she wants to do, sell the house, buy something smaller.
Why don't we pray Sean gets a job here, buy a piece of land, put some modular homes on it, we'll just live the minimalist lifestyle with a big barbecue pit and some swings for Silas.
I think Sally's one you're going to have to sell that idea to because I'm there.
It, huh?
Could have a.
It's so nice. And then we can just, yeah.
I used to think about how, like when I was younger, I was really into the idea that I needed to be able to, you know, live in a better house than I grew up in. Mm-hmm. Just like that's what my parents wanted. They wanted a better life for me. Right. So I got to figure out how that's going to happen. And there's like this expectation of like, you need these certain things to be a success in life.
Right.
And I'm just at a point today where I'm like, yeah, it is all meaningless. And it does not matter where I live, like it's not going to change my legacy. The idea of legacy is hilarious to me now, to be honest with you.
Well, you got two legacies out there, actually, and your children.
Those are my legacies. I'm just kidding.
I mean, a legacy, you have some healthy legacy in your life, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
But whatever this idea of achieving something that will be remembered long after I'm gone, and that they would say my name on the radio when I died kind of deal, you know, just because of he did something somewhere.
For your awesome podcasts.
It doesn't matter because the end result is the same, and eventually no one's going to remember my name anyway.
I think Ecclesiastes would agree with that. I think Solomon.
And you could look at it very depressingly. Like, that could be a very depressing thing if you're in a different state of mind than I am.
It would be easy to do that. I mean, but I think that that's what Jesus is trying to get to us so much when he's talking about his kingdom, the kingdom, the real kingdom,
mm-hmm.
versus what's going on here. You know, be rich here. I want you to be rich here. I want true eternal riches for you. I want you to be wealthy, and here's how to do it. Here's how to invest in that. And he even talks about, you know, spend your money on other, like, people and relationships. So when you're done here, people welcome you into eternal dwellings. It's like, invest your stuff mm-hmm. on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the things that are going to last. Those other people are going to, they're actually, you will take them with you. That is something that will be coming with us. But the other stuff will be, you know, staying here and rusting away.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess, you know, getting that in our hearts, you know, to where it's something that we, you know, is a core thing, you know, a core value and a thing that where we're living it. You know, I have moments where I do that and then I go back into my old patterns or something like that. And that happens when I have accumulated stuff or accumulated anything, a habit, you know, through doing things over and over or accumulating different types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a controlling, ruling force in my life. And then it's hard to break out of that and break into what God has, mm-hmm. you know, what his idea of true riches are, which, let's face it, that is ultimate reality. You know, the idea of those kinds of riches where people are viewed as the treasure, and that this other stuff can be focused in that direction and in that effort. You know, yet at the same time, God says, hey, eat some things down here. Have some fun. I made this for you to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So God's not trying to, you know, take everything away from me and make life miserable.
This one, I found it. It's kind of along the same lines in that, like, there's a higher value in something other than money. It just says, it's in Ecclesiastes 7:12. Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves those who have it.
Thank God it don't pervert us.
Maybe money does, but wisdom preserves. But I mean, it was interesting because we were talking about the kind of the safety and the shelter, but really money doesn't preserve us. But anyway, it's all meaningless.
Well, but emphasizing the value of wisdom, you know, one of those things that's really got a high value to it. And I know some of what I can value can get out of whack sometimes, but, you know, valuing the things that God makes, and certainly the author of Ecclesiastes, and I think of James too, the book of James as well, where it's like, you know, if you lack wisdom, we can come to God, and this great treasure of wisdom God will give to us freely. You know, again, relying on God and getting that wisdom to navigate the trials, the real challenges of life, is something, again, that seems to be mm-hmm. of great value to God and should be something that we highly prize as well and see as more valuable than stuff that passes away.
Yeah, it kind of gets back to the original verse you quoted about you can't love both God and money. And I think about, you know, Jesus getting people to follow him, you know, telling them to, you know, sell everything that they had or leave everything that they had. And they were going to gain so much wisdom and experience that was so much more valuable than all those things. But it's hard to serve both God and money at the same time. So. Let's go get rid of all our stuff.
All right, let's do it.
Where we're going to live, I vote we buy like a property and some little mini houses on it or something.
Well, that'll do it for us on this episode.
Well, we really digressed there at the end, didn't we?
Be sure to check out our website, kingdomhyphenconversations.com.
And our Facebook, We're on Facebook, and we are on iTunes.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
All right.
Over and out.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.